What is TWS podcast episode, whatever? Who cares at this point?
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast. I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still live?
It's not working for me, Rich. All right, we're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
I'm ready. I feel like the answer's staring at my watch, and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, I'm obviously not ready because I'm still chewing this pizza, but whatever. Welcome to another episode of What Is TWS Podcast. As always, I am J.Dot Flan, and once again, joining me via the miracle of the interwebs is my brother Rich Nerd.
Here.
And we are the White Pants Society. Pause on that for a second. All right, back. Anyway, this is like episode 116, somewhere around there. I've been having a pretty fucked up day. I've not been in the right mood. I don't feel like fuck life today. And fuck all the things y'all talking about. Everything you've dreamed about and wished and hoped. I've hated so far today. But I'm going to try to snap out of it and have some fun for this 45 minutes hour with the people. With my brother. And just do what we do. Just do what we do. And jumping right in, I can't jump right into that because we got to do our calls to action. Must do our calls to action because Flint, Michigan is still a motherfucking issue. These people still do not have clean water in Flint, Michigan. So once again, I plead to you people. I put it out on Twitter today, on our Twitter, What Is TWS? TT Charities and Black Millennials for Flint have another drive right now going on for the people of Flint, Michigan. I have tweeted a link to where you can donate. Please, please, please check out our Twitter, their Twitter. I think it's BM4F, so Black Millennials for Flint. Use that hashtag. But do whatever you can to bring awareness to this and donate if you can. TTCharities.org. All information is there. Support my brothers. Support our brothers. Support our people in Flint. We are 4+ years in to American citizens without clean water. It doesn't make sense. It makes absolutely no sense. Please, people, do what you can. Whatever you can. Money, a retweet, a repost, talking to your friend, talking to your people at work, talking to your church, whoever. Like, Let's fix this. Let's fix this once and for all. All right. In addition to that, our sister, Rena's Cakeys. If you don't know what a cakey is, it's the size and shape of a cookie, but it's the texture of a cake. It comes in flavors with delicious icing on top. They got like lemon lime, which is my favorite. Lime, which is also my favorite. Strawberry, which is also my favorite. And they got some other flavors. But they all good. She also does pies, cookies, wedding cakes, birthday cakes, and they all crazy and delicious. So hit her up, Rina's Cakeys, R-I-N-A-S, cakeys.com. Get your baked goods. And we got my brother, our homie, big friend of the show, Alex, and CelebrityHairCorp.com. Ladies, it's summertime. Sweat and glue do not mix. Get your new bundles.
Damn.
And we talking free shipping, no tax. You can't beat it. Get your new bundles, free shipping, no tax. CelebrityHairCorp.com. Rich, you got anybody else you want to shout out real quick?
Nah. I'm good.
All right. So I'm going to keep it moving. People, can I talk to you for a second? If you trying to be different, you're not being different. If you have to try to be you, you're not being you. And I say this from experience. I spent multiple years as what I call a social chameleon, where I kind of defined who I was based on the environment that I was in. I could switch colors. I could switch whatever to fit who I was around and to be who I wanted to be in that situation. not be who I was, but be who I wanted to be in that situation, or be who I wanted them to see in that situation. If you have to do that, you're not, that's not authentic. That's not real. That's not you. That's not different. That's an act. Be you. We are all different. We all have uniqueness about ourselves. And if you really just express who you are, and trust me, I understand how difficult it is, because I'm 36 and I'm just coming into the point in my life where I feel like I am me. But the most beautiful thing about being me is that it does not require your approval. It does not require your acceptance. You don't have to agree with me. You don't have to believe in what I believe. I'm able to be me just because that's who I am. And it's the most freeing, beautiful feeling in the world. I feel like so much of what we hear and see right now is people trying to be different. Trying to be different for the sake of being different. Trying to be contrary for the sake of being contrary. Trying to be whatever they think is going to get the most likes and the most views. And I promise you people that the majority of folks can see it. They have a filter for bullshit. They know the difference between sincerity and bullshit. They can sniff out honesty, and they're attracted to it. They're attracted to honesty. They're attracted to realness. They're attracted to sincerity. And if you can be yourself, you can be sincerely whoever you are, no matter what that is, you'll find an audience. But trying to be, you know, getting likes because of something that you're trying to do is only temporary, and it's going to fall apart at some point. So I'm begging people, you know, give up this shit. Like, give it up. I'm so sick of hearing the bullshit for the sake of bullshit. Because right now, I guarantee you, no matter what outrageous thing I say, I can Google it and find support for it. So it doesn't mean I'm unique, because there are 100,000 people who believe the same bullshit that I just said. And so if I'm saying it just to be different, I'm not different. If I'm saying it because it's me, then it doesn't matter if other people agree with me. So I'm going to get off my soapbox, but really today, like, the thing that has fucked me up the most is just reading so many posts from people I can tell aren't sincere and are purely doing what they're doing to try to be different, to try to stand out. And you already stand out. You already stand out because you are you. So just be you and stop trying to stand out. Stop trying to be different. Stop trying to be who you are and just be who you are. I say it from experience, folks. All right, I'm done. Whoa, Rich. You got anything, Rich?
No, I'm good. Fuck it.
Let's keep it moving. All right. Let's see. What we did this weekend, we did a lot of work on the TV show. We had our initial casting call. We're going to have another casting call coming up, I believe, on the 28th. It's going to be at the same location, the Austin Public Studios. Rich, if you can help me with the address. It's like 1143 Northwest Avenue or some shit like that.
I do not remember it off the top. See, you keep putting me on the spot, man.
This is what... Nigga, I put you on the spot because you the fact man. You got the facts.
Let me see what it is.
I say shit, you say facts. This is how it works. Austin Public Studios, people. But come out. We're looking for a female host. See if you can go toe-to-toe with me and Rich. And we're looking for some brand ambassadors. Aesthetics matter. But anyway.
Oh, yeah. That was it. 1143 Northwestern Avenue.
Oh, shit. Hold on. Let me get a slice of pizza for that. Sure. Hold on.
Flan trying to eat dinner at the same time. I was about to order some wings, but then he called me real quick. So I was like, God damn it. Fuck it. Let me put a hold on my food. Pick up the call. And this nigga eating.
Yeah, I had wings from Brooklyn Pie Company last night. The Caribbean jerk. It was my favorite.
That's actually what I was about to order. Brooklyn Pie Co. The Caribbean jerk.
Yeah, so Brooklyn Pie Co., you know, if you want to sponsor us, hit us up with some free wings. You know, hey, they are delicious, people. Holler at Brooklyn Pie Co. Austin Pizza. I'm not going to say it's the greatest pizza in the world, but sometimes you want, like, Chuck E. Cheese style pizza.
Yeah.
And yeah, because the Chuck E. Cheese style pizza is gross, but it's delicious at the same time. So if that's what you need, Austin Pizza is perfect, like, upscale Chuck E. Cheese style pizza. It's delicious. I fucking love it. I ordered it. And I'm eating there. Well, this music got me in the mood. I like this music. Anyway. I want to introduce a new segment today. I call it The Internet Has the Best Advice, because I seen this clip today on the internet, and as much as the internet has disappointed me today, this uplifted my spirits. Rich, are you ready for this one?
Yeah.
Advice for the ladies. Ladies, if you wear workout clothes to your dick appointments, then the walk of shame will look like a morning jog.
Man.
The internet has the best advice. Once again, if you wear workout clothes to your dick appointments, then your walk of shame will just look like a morning jog. That's real shit.
I mean, technically, yeah. It's real as fuck. Look like nothing. You're going home in the middle of the night, yeah.
As fuck.
Early morning workout.
Yes, ladies. And we don't give a fuck what you come to the house dressed in. So please, you can wear your sports bra and your yoga pants. That is only going to accentuate the afternoon. So just, yes, wear your workout clothes to your dick appointments. And then your walk of shame is like a morning jog. The internet has spoken.
That has been the Daily Fact from TWS.
Oh, man. All right. I've had enough fun. I haven't had enough fun. We're going to have more fun. But let's get into something more serious. Let's see. What do we talk about on the boards today? You want to talk about the tip issue? You want to do that? Pause.
Yeah, because so it seems like there's a lot of back and forth. And I'm not sure why there's a lot of back and forth. But see, putting me on the spot. So basically, Flan brought up the topic.
All right. This is happening in D.C.
Yeah.
It's called Initiative 77 in D.C. But basically, what they're trying to do is raise the wage for tipped employees to the minimum wage. So no longer will tipped employees be. So I think in D.C., tipped employees were paid like $3.30 some odd cents an hour. And, you know, the expectation was that they would make the additional money in tips. Initiative 77, which has passed in D.C., says that those employees now make the minimum wage and tips would be on top of that. So my question on the boards today was whether or not if you knew your server or your, you know, tipped employee was making minimum wage, would that adjust your strategy toward tipping? And we got a lot of great opinions on it because I was really on the fence. Excuse me. And I think I really am kind of still on the fence, like, because I tip based on service.
Exactly.
And tipping has gotten me a lot of things. Like, you know, I think I said on the board today, tipping has gotten me a cab in the middle of the night when I normally wouldn't have gotten it. I was going to an area that wasn't savory. A lot of the cab drivers around me were like, nah, I don't want to go there. And I had a cab driver stand up for me and say, nah, he's good people. Take him. And that was because I was a tipper. I've had people kicked out the chair at the barbershop because I'm a tipper.
Like old Flan coming.
Flan, yeah, and they know he going to tip. You get the fuck, get your cheap ass the fuck out the chair. So Flan can sit down, you know. And definitely at restaurants with bartenders or whatever, you know, you might get free drinks. You might get better drinks, stronger drinks. You know, you might get the good food, faster food, whatever it is, because you're a known good tipper. But would you still tip the same way if you knew, you know, that that person was making $30,000 a year as opposed to $3.30 an hour? I don't know. I didn't see you chime in, Rich. Where you at?
I commented more than once. See, you wasn't even looking.
I wasn't.
You wasn't even looking once. But what I said, so I had several comments. Basically, I said the same thing. I tip based on the service. So therefore, whether they're making minimum wage or whether they're making the $3 an hour, which is like the average or whatever it is, doesn't really matter because I don't put any forethought into what they make and base my tips off of that. Therefore, I'm still going to tip based off the service anyway. But that being said, theoretically, if they raise their wages, they'd get the higher pay plus still get the tip, which means that they bring home more money. Downside, if they end up getting paid more, the establishment may not be able to hire as many people. So therefore, they would be overworked because essentially more people would be fired, which means that the level of service will go down. Therefore, the tip will go down negative. So it's a lot of give and take. It can go both ways. I mean, it just depends on the establishment what their budget is. They might try to, I guess, make cut the difference of that by raising the price of the food and the menu items. You know, you take everything on the menu up like $2, you get earn a difference for what you got to pay for everybody's salary. So, I mean, it basically then goes back to affect the patrons in the long run. And then are we going to get paid more? Is our cost of living going to increase? No. So it's just going to be a cycle. It's going to end up being the same thing.
So the other thing I suggested is that, you know, establishments just move to the community tip, you know, like where they pool their tips. And then a percentage of those pool tips go to the house anyway to try to compensate for the fact that the house now has to pay more, you know, for the servers, but you still kind of get a percentage of your tips. I don't know.
See, I feel most places pool tips anyway between the waiters, the hostess, the busboys, and the people in the back. So at the end of the night, it's the team that's actually like, when you give a waiter, the server, $100 tip, they don't keep that $100. They got to split that between everybody that put that work in. So now if you're going to say, okay, well, to help out the house because of they're losing money, the house now becomes a person, then boom, you still get less tips because you got to split it between one more entity.
You're getting less tips, but you're getting paid like four times as much as you used to get paid. It's quite the argument. So people, if you have any, you know, any feelings about it, hit us on Twitter, hit us on the Facebook group. Let's talk about tipping. Why do I feel the need to say pause about tipping? I don't know. But yeah, pause. Anyway, let's see. What else we got? All right. So I did also want to get into this because this is close to my heart. I saw it today. There's a website. I think it's the Ambrosia for Heads. It's a website that's doing like this, the GOAT rap group discussion.
Yeah.
And today, the two groups that were pitted against each other were Black Star and Slum Village. And this one like just like hit extremely home to me because these are two groups that mean a lot to me in terms of my, you know, my hip hop life and the music I've listened to. So I wanted to open that up to discussion. Now, one of the greatest things that came out of this is that my wife got really involved, and I think it has rekindled a little bit of our spark because a lot of our initial like shit with each other was like surrounded around music and me introducing her to music and us listening to music together. And I would say like Black Star and Slum Village was around that time where like those were two groups that were really important to us. So it even became like more of an issue for me internally, like which one of these groups was the better group. So I opened it up to discussion. I think Black Star was pretty much the overwhelming consensus.
Yeah, it was the overwhelming consensus for everyone, but then everyone said the same exact thing. You know, it's Black Star because the fuck, like, geniuses, but then Slum Village because Dilla and his production and the value that he created. And everybody who says something about SV, the Dilla is basically like all they say.
So I want to go a little more in depth because the more I thought about it today, and the more I listen to other people's comments, and the more my wife and I talked about it, I'm going to have to, and this is not going to be popular. This is going to lose me a lot of like hip-hop creds. I am going to have to firmly go with Slum Village as the better group. And I will explain now. First of all, you know, body of work. You know, Black Star gave us a classic album, a definitive hip hop album. Slum Village, in my mind, has given us several under the radar classic hip hop albums. Most people don't know the rappers in Slum Village other than, you know, J Dilla when he was a rapper and a producer. So they've never had the kind of star power to sell their albums, but they've still put out like critically acclaimed to me albums. They've had features from Common to Busta Rhymes. I mean, everybody's been on their albums. And then I thought about it today, and the one glaring thing that I will give Slum Village over the course of their career is that the artists that Black Star introduced me to, and what I will say here is that I will probably credit Black Star as the reason that I discovered Slum Village. Like, I was looking for more music like that. And I went into a record store, and the dude was like, have you ever heard of Slum Village? Let me check him out. All right. But then, after Slum Village, you know, Slum Village introduced me to artists like Duelle.
Yeah.
You know, they introduced me to a whole sound in Detroit that I was unaware of. And it definitely broadened my musical interest at that time, you know, from only knowing Detroit as Eminem to knowing Detroit as, you know, Duelle and Royce da 5'9" and Obie Trice, and just so many other artists that popped out because of that whole, you know, Slum Village experience. You know, El Zai being a guy who came into the group and then, you know, kind of went on his own. And then just the fact that I can put on Slum Village albums instrumental and with that Dilla production, like my wife and my daughter were just in the kitchen, like dancing to a Slum Village instrumental album. And so, you know, with that alone, I know it's an unpopular opinion, but I'm going to go with Slum Village as the better group. I don't think they're going to win this contest. I don't think they're going to win this Ambrosia for Head shit, but I just want to go on record as saying I believe for me and their contribution to my hip hop life, Slum Village is the bigger group.
I mean, I get it. You know, you're entitled to your opinion, however unpopular it may be. But it is what it is. And like I said, at the end of the day, you really can't discount either group anyway. They both had major contributions. Personally, I just happen to like Black Star more, but that's just me. And I like them as individuals. They're both on my top, so it's just easier for me to go with that group. Pause.
And I really think, like, during the time that the Black Star album came out, Talib was not Talib. If you go back and you listen to that album, you know, like, most groups have a clear, like, alpha and a beta. I think at that time, Mos Def was clearly the alpha, and Talib was, like, the big boy of Outkast. Like, you know, he was good, but he wasn't Andre. And he's definitely become better since then.
Yeah.
But he had verses on Black Star that made me want to skip to the next song. I'm just going to put it out there. And I'm not saying that, like, Batan or T3 are better than Talib Kweli. But for some reason, on that album, their skill levels and their verses blended together a little better for me. So, I don't know. I'm going to catch some shit for that, but that's how I feel. Fuck you all. All right, Rich.
Direct your hate mail to
Flan.
Flan at whatistdbus.com.
That is FLAN. Flan. Not Flan. Anyway, Rich, did you hear the one about the DUI suspect who claimed the dog was driving the car?
Oh, shit, nah.
You did not hear about that?
Nah.
Well, sir, you have just entered the next episode of Guess the Ethnicity. A DUI suspect was accused of leading deputies in a high-speed chase in Manatee County, Florida, allegedly told authorities that his dog was the one behind the wheel. This is a 26-year-old male. He caught him speeding at 7:45 on a Wednesday afternoon. He ran a stop sign and drove through two ditches before eventually crashing into a house. At which point, he told the police it was the dog that was driving. Mr. Green, based on those facts and those facts alone, would you like to guess the ethnicity?
As soon as you said dog, I immediately thought not black. I have several reasons why I'm going not black.
You want to expound upon those? Okay.
So one, he gave his excuse, and he said that the dog was driving. That right there, the fact that you feel like you can just say the dog was driving, I'm going to say not black. Two, he did all of that and was able to live to give a response and was questioned. I'm going to then go again, you know, not black. Because we don't sometimes get as far as, excuse me, sir. You know, so, I mean, it's two things. It's two strikes right there. I'm just gonna go not black.
Not black, not black. Okay, all right.
What's Manatee, Florida?
Manatee, Florida.
Bruh, not black.
Bruh. Okay. All right. So we're going with the what do we want to call it? Dog driver? We're going with the dog driver as non-black so far. All right, let's get to some black people though. So back to the beginning of the show. Flint, Michigan is still going on. All right. Recently, one of our favorite people, Jennifer Lewis, dropped a song on YouTube about Flint. I want to get out of play real quick, Rich, if you don't mind. Mm-hmm.
I just got back from Flint. Yeah. That Flint. I saw that dirty water with my own eyes. But not to my surprise, Governor Snyder, you're not much of a provider. 'Cause Flint ain't fixed.
All right, I'm going to stop it there because we got that 30-second limit.
Anyway. I was about to say, I feel like that's more than 30 seconds. We're going to get an even note from YouTube.
I'm not trying to get no more even notes from YouTube about clips on the show. But Flint ain't fixed. Flint ain't fixed. Yeah, it makes no sense that we have a major city in the United States of America that is still without clean water. We're talking about tax-paying water bill paying citizens,
and that's the crazy part. Like the paying for the goddamn water you can't use, all because the state needs the money.
Paying crazy. For undrinkable water in a major city in the United States of America, it makes no sense. And the sad fact is that, like, it's been going on so long that we legitimately forget about it. Mm-hmm. Like, I know I will raise my hand as a person who forgot that this whole situation was going on. Like, at one point we were gung-ho about talking about it every episode, and then we lost it because you just can't fathom the fact that this kind of situation will be going on in this country for this long. No, and it's not on the news every day. We still talking about dumb shit on the news every day. We got people in a major city in our country that don't have a staple of life. It doesn't. Flint ain't fixed, folks. Flint ain't fixed. So I just wanted to take some extra time in this episode, to speak on it. I thought that Jennifer Lewis, I love Jennifer Lewis. She's one of my favorite social media characters, not to mention, you know, just actresses and singers. But she's dope as fuck. I love Jennifer Lewis. So.
Things that make you go,
I appreciate her for doing that. Flint ain't fixed. I'm gonna be in a meeting tomorrow just like and fuck up the whole meeting. Flint ain't fixed. They be asking me to fix some SCCM shit. And I'm like, nigga, SCCM? Flint ain't fixed.
I was about to say it. Oh, we can fix SCCM, but we can't fix Flint.
We can't fix. Yeah, let's go out to Flint.
We can put a man on the moon, but we can't clean water.
Clean water, people. So, yeah, again, ttcharities.org, Black Millennials for Flint. Check out all of our social media outlets. There will be links there to where you can donate. Just whatever you can do. Donate your money. Donate a retweet, a repost, time, prayers, thoughts. You know, we all know what thoughts and prayers do, but we still need them. We still need them. All right, before I get in trouble with the evangelicals, let's find something else to talk about. I want to talk about this because this has been an ongoing thing for us over the last couple of weeks. This idea of toxic masculinity, and the attack there seems to be on everything that I'm starting to feel, and this is me jumping the subjects a little bit, but I'm starting to feel like, is this what getting old is? Like, you just watch everything that you believed in, everything that you loved, everything that meant anything to you, like, die, be murdered, be attacked, be destroyed. Right now, I saw an article, and Give me a minute to pull it up so I can give you the exact headline from the article. But it broke my fucking heart. Like, it literally, because this was black love before we knew, like, this mm-hmm. was, like, if you weren't old enough to understand love at the time of the Huxtables, like, this was the next relationship you got to see become a real thing. This was the next time you got to see a black man, like, fight for what he loved.
Mm-hmm.
And to now read this and to see that this is how we frame that story in this day and age, it broke my heart. The name of the article is A Different World, Revisiting Dwayne and Whitley's Toxic Cautionary Tale of the Nice Guy and the Male Ego. And I read the story, and basically, you know, it was written from a woman's point of view, and she was writing the article as someone who was a fan of A Different World and who grew up watching this love story and viewed it as a love story and as, you know, this triumphant, you know, like, I don't know, want to say knight in shining armor, you know, finally growing up and becoming a man and doing what he had to take to claim the woman that he loved.
Mm-hmm.
And that when she watches it now, she feels like Dwayne is trash. And that he, like, mind fucked Whitley into loving him, no matter how fucked up he was. And man, did that, like, just, I think that sent me on the path for today in terms of, like, just hating the internet and hating, like, everything, all the bullshit that, this was one of the things that made me think that people are just trying to be different for the sake of being different. People are just trying to find something that they can attack that used to mean something to people that I don't think was negative, but if you find a way to spin it, you can make it negative, you know?
Yep.
And that's how I read this article, and it hurt me to my heart, man. It hurt me to my heart. Because we all were Dwayne Wade, like, especially guys like me and you, Rich. Like, just be real. You know what I'm saying? We was the nerds. We were the nice guys. We were the ones that mm-hmm. you know, listened to the stories and the bullshit. We were the ones that was always available and always around and made ourselves available so that we could be ready for the moment, you know, that these girls who felt like they were out of our league would realize that we were really the ones they needed all along. Mm-hmm. And to hear this story depicted this way, as if, I'm going to tell you the really thing that stuck out to me was the way this article was written was as if Dwayne and men in general are so devious that you helpless women don't stand a chance. That if we have the wrong intentions but the right amount of skill, no matter what you do, we're going to destroy you. We're going to get you, we're going to acquire you, and we're going to destroy who you are in the process. That you don't have any responsibility in walking away or not participating in the bullshit. That somehow men are just so dominant that we're going to get you if we want to get you. That's mm-hmm. what I felt when reading this article, is that if anything, it didn't say men were trash. It said that women are indefensible. Like, they don't have the shit it takes to prevent themselves from being taken advantage of.
So, and that was going to be my stance on it, because if you're depicting men in this point of view and it's this particular light, how weak are you calling women?
Exactly.
You know, it's, like I said, the article was bullshit.
All right. Whitley had every chance to get away from this situation if she wanted to get it. And it's, first of all, we're talking about a fictional fucking ass situation. We're talking about two people that don't exist in real life. You know, that this rarely happens, where you going to get married to another dude and then the dude wakes up and, like, barges down the aisle. Like, that shit don't really work out in real life. But to make it seem like it was all, like, this brilliant mindfuck that Dwayne put in place that she was just helpless against, it's bullshit. It was a love story. And to me, we were talking about kids in college. We were talking about people who don't know what they want, who don't know what love is, who don't know how to love, who honestly need time to lose and get shit back. You got to lose stuff, get it back, lose it again, get it back again. before you realize what you got. Mm-hmm. It's a shame that's the reality. I mean, some people learn it. Some people are high school sweethearts and they get it right the first time. But most people have to go through some shit before they grow up. And we watched two people go through some shit, and now it's toxic. Now it's, this is wrong. This is ugly. Dwayne was trash. Whitley was a damsel in distress.
And then what was crazy is Whitley had her share of issues too. So just as many times as Whitley had a chance to get away from Dwayne, Dwayne had a motherfucking chance to get away from Whitley.
But why are we attacking? So why are we just looking for shit to attack?
That's the new rule.
That's the new rule. Just you stand out by saying, and that's, you know, and it's a sad fact because we're playing into it right now. That if you say some shit that's outrageous, no matter how outrageous it is, it's going to get you attention. And then all you have to do is spend that attention once you get it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do something dumb. You can do something bad. You can do something negative. But you just got to spend the attention once you get it. Because it's going to get you the attention. And everybody now knows that. Everybody now knows, just say some outlandish. Say the world is flat. Because there's 10,000 people that agree that the world is flat. And you're going to get some views. I view flat earther videos maybe 15 to 20 times a day. Just to sharpen my skills as a person who believes it's bullshit. Just to make sure that I can listen to any argument about the flat earth and don't be like, oh shit, hold up. You know, that's what I do. But they know that. They know that if I keep yelling the earth is flat, people going to look at me. And I just got to spend the attention once they look at me.
And exactly what you said. And then the more outlandish the thing that you say is, the more people are going to do. It automatically stops them. And then they got to be like, because they either agree with you or they disagree. But if they disagree, now they really have to sit there and think of a reason to come up with it, a reason why they disagree.
Right.
So it's going to cause them to research. They're going to second guess themselves. It's a whole bunch of BS.
A whole bunch of BS. Yeah. But that's the world we live in right now. That's the world we live in right now. And that's the world that upset me today. But I think Dilla and Slum Village pulled me out of it a little bit. Watching my wife and my daughter dance in the kitchen, listening to Dilla beats was definitely a moment for me today. So I feel good about that. But I do feel like I'm just getting old and apart. I'm only 36 years old, but I already feel like at 36, everything that was my childhood is dying. You know what I mean? Like,
man, like, don't like, say that.
Michael Jackson is dead. Michael Jackson is dead. They tried to kill him before he died, but he's dead, right? Bill Cosby is for, you know, for lack of a better word, dead.
Mm-hmm.
His legacy is gone. They've destroyed him. You know, we're just waiting for him to die at this point. It sounds fucked up, but it's true. You know, now they're attacking a different world. Like everything, the music we listen to. It's old school now. It's non-relevant anymore. We're watching everything that was us become irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
At 36. I guess it's fucking sad. All right. Anyway. Before I depress everybody. I went to see a movie on Thursday. Last Thursday.
Man, I still gotta go.
You gotta go. I went to see Sorry to Bother You. It's a movie, I think, written and directed by Boots Riley.
Mm-hmm.
Starring Lakeith Stanfield, Tessa Thompson, Amari Hardwick, Danny Glover, some other motherfuckers. I know some other people in the movie. Terry Crews is in the movie. It's a black movie.
It's a star-studded cast.
It's blacked out. It's blacked out. And it's about, like, some real shit. And so I posted the message, and even today when I posted that shit on Facebook, asking, you know, to, you know, trying to engage people in the, as to why it didn't receive the same or even close to any kind of reception as like a Black Panther. Like, we were just in this black excellence euphoria. Mm-hmm. Right, we were just in this moment of black excellence. It was like, support black excellence and let's show them how great we are. Let's show them how well we can do with the box office and how our stories and our people and our actors and our directors can earn and be like real at the box office. And then multiple movies have come out since Black Panther. And I have not seen that same fervor ever, not even close, ever again. Ever again. Like, I tried to push Sorry to Bother You. And all of my woke friends and all that shit, nothing. Like, fucking crickets. And I'm just trying to understand what it is. Like, I'm not trying to blame anybody or, like, you know, or, like, say you not woke because you ain't gonna watch this movie. But help me understand, mm-hmm. like, what's the difference between this and Black Panther? Like, what got you up for Black Panther and what never got you out your seat for this movie? I went to go see it and the theater was full of white people, Rich. Now, so, granted, I live in Austin and I went at the theater in the Arboretum. So, ain't a whole lot of black people around there. But still... Like, it was full of white people. It was a lady outside. It was a white lady outside trying to give away tickets.
Man, so it's not. I tried to go. It's not even playing at the theaters near me. So I'm probably gonna have to go out to like Yo Way because like Movie House, Alamo, like all of the rest of them, like they don't have it yet. So I don't know if it was a early limited release or
yeah,
what.
It did have a limited release. Like I think the real release date is the 13th, and that's the date it should be available. You know, nationwide, everywhere.
Well, but, okay, cool.
But like I'm saying, I'm not hearing people like, I'm not hearing anything.
I mean, I've been hearing people speak about it. And then I was about to say, on my commute to work this morning, like all of the radio stations were talking about it. Bear in mind, all of these radio stations was white people. So like you said, it wasn't even any black folk. It was all white people hyping up this movie, talking about how much they liked it. But the part that killed me was... So I was watching, listening to 101X. Dude's name was Jason Dick. for 101X.
I'm so juvenile.
And he kept complaining about how much he hated Get Out because of the setup. And I guess it was like just too woke and the social commentary and stuff. But then he started saying how much he loved I'm Sorry to Bother You. And he's talking about like the whole white voice thing and all of that stuff. This is the part that bothered me. It was a section where he was raving about how much he liked Lakeith Stanfield and his acting, but he didn't know how to say his name. So he was like, this actor, he's just so good. He really made the movie. I don't want to butcher it. I don't want to say it wrong. Fuck it. I'm going to say it. He's like, what is his name? Lakeith? 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 He's like, I'm going to go with Lakeith. Fuck it. Lakeith Stanfield, he made this movie. Then his co-host, Nick, says, okay, so if you didn't like Get Out, and this guy is so good, if this guy, Lakeith, was in Get Out, do you think you would have liked the movie better? That's when nice. I say I wanted to smack a motherfucker through the radio, I wanted to smack a motherfucker through the radio. Jason Dick and Nick immediately says, no. He was in there. And the other guy says, oh, all right, confession, I didn't see it. Motherfucker. What the fuck? I know this was a bad segue. I'm sorry. That shit pissed me off this motherfucking morning. What the fuck, motherfucker? But sorry for all the cursing people. No, I'm not.
No, you're not.
Sorry.
But here's the shit that pissed me off, though, is that I got more people talking to me about Tessa Thompson's sexuality and whether or not she's fucking Janelle Monáe. And they not going, and she's in a fucking movie. Like, the movie is coming out. Like, if you really care about what Tessa Thompson is doing, she's starring in a movie. Go see the movie. But you more worried about who she having sex with or what her sexuality is or whether, you know what I mean? Like, I think woke people need to give it a rest. I think woke folks need to give it a rest. Like, because I really feel like woke is another different for the sake of being different. It's just finding a way to separate myself from the sheep, the sleep, the whatever you would fuck you want to call them. But nobody's really woke. We all have an understanding of a certain perspective, and we may have a better understanding of this part of the perspective or that part of the perspective, but nobody seems to have a grasp of it all, because it's impossible to. It's virtually impossible to. So I don't like the whole. I've been a big proponent on this show of the fact that I do not like this whole woke era. And this moment just made me dislike it even more, because it was so much about being woke that went into Black Panther, that went into to wearing kente cloth and playing drums and shit at the fucking movie theaters, you know, for this fictional movie about a comic book hero in a country that don't exist with a mineral that don't exist. But here we have another movie by a black director, full of black actors, really about the struggle, and crickets. People talking about Tessa Thompson's sexuality and not talking about the movie she's starring in. And it really struck a chord with me. It really hurt me. And it comes out, I think, nationwide on the 13th. Sorry to bother you. It is a strange movie. You might need to see it twice to fully understand it. I need to go see it again. I don't fully understand it, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the fuck out of it. It's funny, and it's thought provoking, and I like shit that makes me think. And I feel like if you want to stand on that woke stance, you need to like shit that makes you think.
Yeah,
you need to think. Like, we don't need to like shit. You know, we don't need to just like the shit that makes us happy to be from a country that don't exist. Like, niggas was doing the Wakanda salute for weeks
in the street. Yep.
Like, where is Wakanda right now? Like, black folks still exist. Black excellence is still going on. And here's the thing about black excellence that I don't think people all the time understand is that the majority of time you will have to seek out black excellence. You will have to go find black excellence. You will have to participate in the discovery of black excellence. Mm-hmm. When black excellence arrives in your lap, you need to question it, because that means that it went through somebody's hands before it got to you. You know what I mean? I hate to say it like that, but if it arrives in your lap, then you know that somebody wanted you to see it, and not necessarily the people that you're thinking about wanted you to see it. But most black excellence, you have to actively pursue.
Well, you got to seek it out.
You got to seek it out. So we can't just sit back and wait for some shit that's supposedly black to pop in your lap so that you can jump up and put on your kente cloth and play your drums and claim to be African for a week. You have to go out every day and try to find some shit black to support.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to get off my soapbox right then and fucking there. And let's get back to that guest day ethnicity shit.
Keep us free.
Keep us free. Thank you. Anyway. Anyway, man, I gotta turn my laptop back on and do all that. All right, so we got back to this DUI suspect, right?
Yeah, you're gonna have to change my mind on this one, because I'm pretty deep into non-black folks.
Pretty. All right. So, what if I told you that the deputy who arrested this individual noted that he smelled the strong odor of an alcoholic beverage, as well as an odor of burnt marijuana?
Hmm. See, I'm torn. So, like, I feel like I still want to say non-black.
Still want to say non-black.
Because now, not only did he survive, not only did he have an outlandish story, he was also under the influence while having an outlandish story and surviving.
All right, let's see. Is there...
And I hate that the today's social climate makes me think this way.
It is today's social climate. All right, can I tell you this? They say that actually canines may be better drivers than intoxicated humans. In 2012, a New Zealand animal trainer taught three dogs how to drive using specially modified cars, and the results were fucking impressive.
I can't.
You can't?
That was a non-black study.
It was in New Zealand. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm going to go with non-black on that. All right, so is that your final? I don't think I have any other information to give you. Manatee County, Florida, DUI suspect, 26, male.
I keep thinking a young white guy or a middle-aged, younger Mexican guy. So, I mean, either way, they're both non-black.
26, so it's middle age is out of the question. 26, I'm going to give you the age. You still
going? I'm non-black.
Unfortunately, Rich, this individual was black.
God damn it.
Relaford Cooper III.
Relaford?
Relaford. He's black. I'll send you the picture. Relaford.
Yeah, you just said this nigga name was Relaford. I'd have been like, I don't care what the other... God damn it.
Relaford Cooper III. So another the third. Y'all thirds need to fix shit up. But yeah, apparently after running a stop sign and driving through two ditches, then crashing into a house, when the police finally caught up with him, he claimed the dog was driving. It was a black man. We're eliminating stereotypes every day here at What Is CWS, because I'd have sworn it wasn't. It was non-black as well, but we are not above blaming animals on shit. Because it'd be white people that'd be like blaming the dog for farting and shit like that. Like, I've never owned a dog, so I don't even know like what dog farts are like. You have it.
I know it's bad. It's that gas is bad.
All right, so when you and Renee was in the house, did y'all ever try to pass off Kit farts on one another? Or
I mean, no, nah, we
off
never
your farts on Kit.
I mean, we never tried to pass off our gas as his, just because we both at this point smelled his gas, and there was no mistaking what the fuck he did for some human shit.
This is a different level. Of
system is totally different.
Relaford Cooper III. All right, that's another episode of Guess the Ethnicity. Your game, your favorite game show's favorite game show here on the What Is TWS podcast. Man, I really don't have anything else to say. I just, Wakanda stand up. Like, this movie is going to hit theaters nationally on the 13th. It is a good movie. It's gotten critical acclaim everywhere. I think it's at 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, this is a good movie. And it is a movie about the social economic situation that we're in right now. The socioeconomic situation that we're in right now. It is relevant to what's going on with us as a community right now. It is starring heavy hitter. Like, y'all love Lakeith Stanfield. This is the dude from Atlanta, in case you need some clarification. And Tessa Thompson. I think y'all know who Tessa Thompson is.
TT.
She was in Creed. She's rumored to be fucking Janelle Monáe right now. Amari Hardwick stars on Power. Yeah, if you don't know who Danny Glover is, fuck you. Like, I mean, I don't know what else to say.
Ain't no excuses for that.
I don't know what else to say. Terry Crews. You know who Terry Crews is. You know what I mean? Like, these people are in this movie. These people believed in this movie enough to star in it. I need us to believe
for
in
some
it.
Reason. So since you gave a background for everybody, I thought you were gonna be like Terry Crews, the man who just got groped by a man.
He got groped by a man. He got his nuts put in vice grips by
Cat Williams.
There you go. Appreciate it. Y'all know he was the office linebacker. Brooklyn 911. I mean, do I have to really keep going? Y'all know who Terry Crews is.
If you don't know by now.
Boots Riley, writer and the director. It's a dope movie. And I just want us to support it the same way we support other things that we claim are black excellence. Like, here's an opportunity. This is an independent movie by black people. Like, here is really an opportunity to show them what we can do. All right, man, let's do it.
Well, I'm definitely going to catch it, hopefully this week. Oh, shit, the 13th is Friday, right?
Is it Friday the 13th?
Man, I'm staying home that day.
Man.
It definitely is Friday the 13th.
I'm going to get off my soapbox, though. Is there anything, what we got with some levity to talk about before we walk out of here? Anything? Man. Should I play Jennifer Lewis one more time?
Jennifer Lewis.
Flint ain't fixed. The children.
I think I might post this internet advice on the page.
The water is thick.
If you know you're going for a booty call and you wear sports gear, you don't get plastered for the walk of shame.
Right, I'm saying,
I'm about to post that.
If you wear the workout clothes to the dick appointment, then the walk of shame looks like a morning jog. I mean, this is just common sense.
That's good advice.
That's good fucking advice. I feel like I should have been telling chicks that my whole life. Like, yo, just sports bra, yoga pants. Don't stress about it. You ain't got to put no makeup on, shorty.
I mean, the yoga pants is going to make the whole situation better anyway.
You know what I mean? Don't do your hair. We're going to sweat it out anyway, baby. Just make your move. You ain't got to put on shoes.
You ain't got to wear no shoes.
Come as you are. Get religious on there. Come as you are. He will accept you. All right, anyway, I'm married. All right, I stop that. I love my wife. She's beautiful no matter what she wears. And she don't have to do the walk of shame no more. Oh. Beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, unless you guys had a crazy role play or some shit. Never mind. I'm yeah. mind my business.
They don't even do that, Rich. That ain't. Nah. You get yourself in trouble. I ain't got nothing to, babe, I ain't had nothing to, I ain't tell him nothing. Understand?
Plan, meet me at the Starbucks.
Nigga, I didn't tell him nothing. He's making all this up. Baby, I ain't tell him a goddamn thing. Alright, anyways, as usual, we appreciate everything. We appreciate y'all listening. Appreciate y'all hanging out with us. I'm telling you, the TV show is coming along amazingly. We sat down and we sketched out like the first episode, and I'm telling you, the content that we have on deck to deliver you guys in just episode one is going to be so above and beyond, I think, what y'all are ready for from us. We are taking this whole idea to the absolute next level. In terms of the podcast, I got some great guests lined up in the next couple of weeks, so we're moving, you know, as purposefully as we can. I'm moving with purpose. I used to tell people all the time when I was a manager, like, wherever you go, walk fast, so people think you got something to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't never walk.
That's
like,
true.
Hey, don't never walk like you ain't got nothing to do. But that's what we doing right now. We are moving like we got shit to do because we doing shit. So,
You must have a meeting.
Right, exactly. Hey, nigga,
move out his way, baby.
Hey, move. Don't stop and ask him shit. He got someplace to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, that's how we moving right now. We moving with purpose. So, appreciate all your support up until now. And we look forward to your continued support. And until we speak again, be safe and be the light.
Be the light. Peace.
Peace.
Yeah, SV, tainted love, wanna know, check it out, you said you love me, but is it really real, would you, fix me green tea if I'm feeling ill, could you, give me your back rub to soothe after a long day, dinner by candlelight, but you're the main entree, and if so, I do the same with other treats to give you, trailing rose petals from your door to beneath your pillow, with a bucket of champagne on your nightstand, experience what some women want in their lifespan, you're saying,